the buzzer, McCord on its way.
Oh my goodness!
They have to get it. With no timeouts, they do.
Courtside with Greenberg and Dokic, the definitive college basketball podcast.
All right, welcome to the world's greatest podcast. We're going to have John Calipari with us today. Before we have Coach Calipari, I've got a little bit of a rant. Every single person out there thinks that I'm going to put together an MTE. I'm going to make a bubble. I'm going to bring teams into the bubble, and instantly I'm going to have a tournament, and television's going to put it on. It's not that easy. Like, here's the deal. Anyone can get a group of teams together. But first of all, we're not having bubbles. This isn't the NBA. You know, we're having isolation, limited access events. But I talked to one NBA guy today. He said the amount of money people spend on sanitizing their facilities, just their practice facilities, get alone saying you're playing a game, that game is over, that team leaves, you've got to sanitize now the playing area, the seating area, the locker rooms, you've got testing, what are you doing when you go from event to event? I mean, like, people think this stuff's going to just happen. There's got to be a set protocol or we're going to have mass chaos and, you know, we're going to set back the start of the college basketball season.
Seth, I just had a conversation with the folks at the Indiana Sports Corporation, the ones who put on the Final Fours here in Indianapolis, the Super Bowl and all that kind of stuff, about that exact thing. They want to have a bubble here. Not a bubble necessarily, but a site. They want to have a site. Right. And I said to myself, if I were a coach, that's what I would want. I would want those people. Those people are used to putting on events. Those people are involved in letting the Colts have 5,000 or 7,500 people coming up this week. I don't want to go with some fly-by-night operation or even somebody that does this somewhat on a regular basis. I want to make damn sure that I'm going with people that know how to do events, because you're so right. This is not like putting on an AAU tournament and getting six teams from all across the country to play a round robin. This is health. This is safety. This is lawsuits. This is a big undertaking. Now, we're going to talk to John Calipari. And, John, they have a bubble there, and he can explain it even better. I'm sure maybe he can't. You know, maybe this is turned over to the State Board of Health to provide or to have a teams come in for a tournament. But I'm so with you, man. People just think there's going to be this bubble, and that's just – there's no way it's possible for fly-by-night crews to do it. And I would warn college coaches, be careful who you deal with in these things. Because if it seems good, if it seems easy, get out, because it ain't.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing you talk about Indianapolis, they also have the finances. I mean, they have the finances. They have the resources. They have the connections to the medical community. If you don't have connections to the medical community so that you can do the proper testing and protocol, forget about it. It can't happen. I like Kentucky potentially having a controlled environment. Look, you got the Hyatt, and you've got Rupp.
Perfect.
You walk right through the lobby, boom, right into Rupp. You're good to go. Now, I don't know what the cost would be. I would almost think you'd be better off playing games in practice facilities, but then you'd have to travel and get to and from the facility. This way, if you got it, like they did with the TBT in Columbus. I mean, they literally walked to the facility to create for each game. I mean, it was a very, very controlled environment, but there's so much detail that needs to be taken care of. Like, I spoke to an NBA guy early this morning. He said that team is working out. He said, it is incredible. Once the workouts are done, everyone is out. They totally sanitize the facility. You cannot come in. Everything is sealed. That costs a ton of money. So I just think that, look, it's great. We want to have college basketball. It's great that people are trying to be creative. It's great that institutions, it looks like I talked to Kermit Davis yesterday at Ole Miss. He said they're looking to create, because they have so many schools in their area, a bubble type environment at their place. It won't be the same as like Kentucky, but at least there's schools. Everyone can bus there. There's a hotel. It's going to be one facility. They can keep it clean. I don't know what they're going to do with guarantees and how that's going to work. But I think you're going to see the Power Fives try to do that. But the big MTEs, like ESPN, has the ability to do it, because, you know, we've been doing it with the NBA for the last 3 months. We've seen it work in a different way, in isolated, limited access, safe environment. I just think it's more difficult. All right, question number two, being that we're going to have Cal on Anthony Davis's shot. All right, some people say Plumlee, there was no screen. So if there's no screen, there's no switch. You just, right? Like, to me, they're underneath out of bounds always. And look, Anthony Davis made a crazy shot. I mean, it was a great shot. I mean, great pass, great shot, great finish. To me, underneath out of bounds, didn't you always try to take one cut away?
Yeah, Seth, my thing, and this goes back to hell in high school. My thing is take away the basket, right? You got to take away the basket. And, I hear all this, well, we got this great scouting, blah, 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 blah. So know what they're doing and take one cut away. But I got to tell you this, Anthony Davis made a shot earlier in the game from the exact same spot, which is interesting to me because a lot of times, you know, that it was a great shot he hit. But it's a shot he's clearly very comfortable. In fact, the shot that he hit before that, Seth, was at the shot clock buzzer, a bit of desperation against a very good defense. So, yeah, but let me ask you this. Sometimes you just got to live with the result that somebody made a great play, don't you?
Yeah, 100%. I mean,
if you're going to say to me, okay, Anthony Davis to his left, three-pointer, beyond the three-point line, you know, beyond. I mean, he wasn't towing it, you know.
And a late contest for the contest.
Yeah, for the win. I don't know.
I agree with you. I agree. I mean, like, he made a big-time shot. We always armbarred and drove the guy to the area we wanted to drive the guy to. With the guy on the ball, protected middle, helping on any back cuts, and then working his way out. And that was our...
Yeah, no, I get it. I do. But let's also be honest. I mean, in the modern-day NBA, and really probably modern-day college basketball, if you want to get a three like that, you can pretty much get a three like that, right? I mean, yeah. I mean I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying anybody. But at some point, and I heard everybody, you know, and saying what you're talking about, and I get it. I do. But, man, I tell you what, sometimes you got to say, God dang, that dude hit a shot.
I mean, give him the tip of the hat.
Yeah, this is how basketball has changed, Seth. I mean, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, who's a 7-footer that can go out and do that move, right? And now there's a lot of guys. I mean, Jokic could make that shot.
Oh, yeah. He made some shots. I thought it was a very – Jokic made some shots on the stretch, but I thought there was about a 5-minute stretch at the end of that game. It was just really bad basketball. It was like a turnover fest. I mean, it was just guys playing faster than their abilities, guys being rushed to go nowhere.
Can I ask you this question? And let's be realistic about it. How long they've been in that bubble? You think there becomes an overall fatigue, not just a basketball fatigue, but there's got to be that too. But just an overall fatigue of everything that – Seth, every time – you mentioned it earlier. Every time you go to practice facility, you got to take a test, get yourself wiped down, do all this crap. I mean, eventually – personally, I'm surprised basketball has been as good as it's been for as long as it's been, truthfully. And I agree with you on this.
Think about the monotony of it all.
Yeah.
Think about, so Denver Nuggets are playing a game every other day for the last 4 months almost, or 3 months. Yeah. I mean, then the monotony of what are you eating? Where are you going? Where, you know, your living situations. I mean, there's no spontaneity. You know, look, there's no chance for any spontaneity. I just say it's uncharted waters. That's why when everyone says, well, you know, college, we can do a bubble. No, we can't. We can do a controlled environment. We can do an isolation environment. We can do limited access. We're not doing the things. And we can't, we can do it. I do think you could get away with kind of like the TBT. You could get 5 teams, 8 days, go home, recharge, do your thing. And, you know, maybe 5 or 6 days later, boom, you go to another place, you play, you do it that way. I mean, I just, 3 months, 3.5 months, 4 months, that's brutal. Dan and I are trying to solve the problems of society, the world, and college basketball. So we have come to the conclusion that if you could have a safe, isolated environment, if there was any place better than Lexington with the Hyatt and Rupp right next to each other. So what was your take on that?
And the Hilton and the Marriott all within walking distance. You're right.
Here's the deal, Cal. First of all, you got your guys back on campus again. They went home. They came back. How difficult was it when they came back? Did they have to quarantine? What were you allowed to do with them? What couldn't you do with them? Was that transition difficult?
Well, first of all, Seth, you know the facility is right across the street from the practice where they live. Right. And it's each of them have their own room, their own bathroom. No one else is in the building. Security. The cook has tested, you know, the guy that does their meals. Their meals are individual meals. There's no, you know, every precaution. Our practice facility, which also houses offices for the athletic department, no one is in the offices. They let us go in for a couple hours, but everybody has a mask. Everybody, they're doing all that stuff. But you also have students on the campus, so you're not going to keep them in a, quote, total bubble because of that. But when they came back, it was the normal, you're going to take 14 days, we're going to ramp up, we're going to start doing stuff. And, you know, the crazy thing is, from way back then, stuff has changed weekly. They're having to, the tracing and how we do this in a manner that is also healthy for the kids, you know, from, you know, the mental health and other things that can happen by total isolation, but yet protect us all from spreading this virus. So they're learning stuff every day. And, you know, it's been tough. The tracing becomes the toughest, because if someone is in the company of somebody else and it comes back to you, now all of a sudden you could be negative and negative again, negative, but you're out 14 days in a quarantine kind of deal. That's the hard one.
Coach, I want to change it up a minute because I've been promoting this. Your deal about college basketball should play in August is the smartest thing anybody said about modern college basketball. Can you explain what you want to get done with college basketball in the offseason?
Well, the reason I said it was there's nothing going on. And what the NBA did and how smart they are is they took over July with their summer league. And then you have other promoters that are looking at 3-on-3, the basketball tournament with old timers. And, you know, I say old timers, guys that we all recognized who were from different schools. But we have college basketball in August, which would be, you know, each school gets a week to practice and you get a week to a week or 10 days to play games versus going over to Europe, which used to be, well, this is an academic thing and we're going to take them over there and do academic stuff. Well, that's all crap. Everybody did it to have their team for those days in the summer to practice and travel and play and figure out where they are and get a head start. Well, how about we all get the head start and we all have that opportunity? You could have a team come over from Europe and play you, but here's what's changed. We all have television networks, whether it's the Big Ten or the SEC or the Pac-12 or the ACC, you have content in August that you don't have. You also, ESPN and CBS may jump in. You could televise games. You could do it where each league is at a different time to space it out so you get 25 days of college basketball in the summer. And now it's everybody's on a level playing field, all the media. I'm even saying this. We have a head start now starting in November where we start playing November and December. And who knows, maybe longer, that the NBA is not playing. We own it. All right, what are we going to do with it? I know we got this pandemic that we're juggling in here, but this is a chance for us in college basketball. Part of it is our way of thinking has always been, well, we've not done that, or, you know, the kids and you guys know these kids want more of us coaches, not less. They want more access. It isn't about us wanting access to them. They want us. They want to get in the gym. They have aspirations. They want more of us. And there's no coach going to, what are you going to do? Go 12 hours a day of basketball? You're not going to do that. I mean, you know, and there's diminishing returns on how much you do. And what, how about this? You could lose your team in the summer if you try to do too much. Because the season's 6 months, 7 months long. You can't go 3 months in the summer and go crazy. Anyway, those are some stuff I've thrown out. But my wife doesn't listen to me. My kids don't listen to me. My dogs don't listen to me. My daughter called the other day on my wife's phone. I picked it up and I said, hello. She said, where's mom? How about hello, dad? How are you? How about, you know, so no, don't.
Hey, we think your idea is great. As long as every 3 or 4 years you can bring Dan and I to the Bahamas, we're good with it.
There you go. You like that, didn't you? You like that.
Hey, Cal, so like you're at, you know the SEC is going to be playing. Did you like the idea of the 25th as the starting date? Do you think maybe we should go earlier? When do you think we should get league games going? What's your gut feeling on
that? Well, it is what it is now, the 25th. And now it becomes, all right, I come back to the issue becomes the tracing. So there's got to be some makeup time. How about this one? How about the first 3 days before your tournament starts? You just make up games for us would be Nashville. So any makeup games, we're going to make them up on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, especially the teams that don't play until Friday. You know, because the tournament usually Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you maybe take any makeup games and you do them then. Now you may say, well, that's a different thought. But in 1995 or 96, we played Rutgers at the tournament site because the game had gotten canceled and neither one of us had a room for a game. So we just played it right then, before the tournament started. And, I mean, it worked. It wasn't ideal, but it worked. And so, you know, I think that's an idea. Maybe having a week, the week before the tournament and the tournament, you have days for makeup games. I believe coaches are going to have to call each other and say, look, I'm down to 7 guys. Now, we'll have some that say, well, that's my chance to beat Kentucky. We're playing you. You know, but most guys would say that, look, okay, you're down to 7. I got it. Let's figure out. And if they say the same thing to me, I'm going to do the same. Like, okay, you're not going to bring 7 guys in here. What are we going to do if we're down to 4 players because of foul trouble? Do we have new rules that say you can play with a player that's fouled out, but here's the penalty? I mean, I don't know. I mean, but we're going to have to. Because of the tracing, not which is part of the virus, but the tracing and the ramp up after they come out of quarantine.
So Cal, you could have a kid who's negative, but because he was contact traced to someone, you have to quarantine him.
Well, that's where it is right now, and I understand it because they're saying if you're traced and you were in somebody's company, there's a certain number of days that you could transfer that virus if you have it. And the question becomes, you know, how many times was he tested before? Was he? And they're still. Let me tell you guys. There's one thing I've learned because I've been told this 1,000 times. Cal, you're not a doctor. Oh, I've been told that 1,000 times. But my thing is just give me common sense stuff, because I think. If you make sense to me, I'm fine with everything, but you can't say, well, that's just the way it is. Just give me it. So with all this, it's changed so fast. You got to go with the science. You have to. You have to be really patient about it. But all of us just want to be told, you know, I worry, and I've said this, how many times do you, Seth? I worry about mental health. When you start keeping these kids in rooms that long, you know, you also worry about, you know, blood clots where a kid he's for 14 days, he's sitting in a chair for 10, 12 hours at a time. You worry about anything that we're creating. If we quarantine them, how do we keep them active where they're not infecting, but they're keeping people there. How do we do this? These are Olympic level trained athletes that it's to shut them down that way without something. I don't know the answer. But, you know, ramping up, I get. You have to X amount of time and then say, okay, the day you're eligible to come back, we're going to play a game and play you. You can't do that to the young man or young woman.
Hey, Coach, what's been campus like? What's been your player's life here, combining basketball, school, you know? And can you explain to folks, and maybe this doesn't happen in Kentucky, I don't know, but can you explain to folks how online classes aren't it's not some unique thing for not only college basketball and football players, but college students in general?
Well, it's not been unique, obviously, because you have online universities, okay, that you know, whether it's Southern New Hampshire, whether it's Phoenix, whether it's Liberty, schools all of a sudden changed their whole outlook on, wait a minute, we can do this and do it well. And those people were ahead of the game. Here at the University of Kentucky, you couldn't cluster athletes in classes. There was only so many, quote, online classes that they were allowed to take. So you were taking in-person classes here. I mean, they went above and beyond. I've heard some places where, you know, a kid never went in a classroom and everything was online or correspondence or whatever. Not here. Wasn't that way. Now with this, it's almost like you're requesting online because you just don't want to be in the company of people you don't know. You know, and I'll tell you, even people you do know, yeah, probably don't know. So now it's become where, you know, when you're in the lodge like we are in the practice facility, the weight training and the training room, which is being sanitized daily, twice a day, which is really, you're in a very safe environment. You don't want to really leave that environment if you don't have to. If you have to, you do. But if you don't have to, you'd rather not put yourself in those positions. The kids, again, they're masked everywhere they go. They know the importance of it. We've had guys traced because they didn't have a mask. Not all bad. You're 14 days out. Do you think you should have put that mask on? You know, because that, you know, you want. Here's the one thing that's going to come out of this that I think is good for you too. How much are you washing your hands now? Both of you.
I got my hand sanitizer with me all the time.
Big boy.
Yeah, yeah. Like Seth would go to the bathroom and not wash his hands.
Oh,
now he's now washing his hands 15 times a day. And it's going to be a habit for these young people that we didn't have growing up. I mean, come on now. I mean, that is one of those habits that is going to be, you know, how you use the sanitized wipies or the other stuff that you have with you. I mean, we may not be wearing masks, but everything else that's left is going to be for the health of our country and the people in the country is going to be kind of good stuff. But getting through this and this season, that is, you're going to have to play it by ear because we're not controlling that stuff. It's controlling us and how we respond to it.
How about that? He throws some shade on me. You're talking about a guy from Moon Township. They don't even have soap in Moon Township. Are you kidding me? hey, scheduling, Cal. All right. I mean, you know, you're going to play your league games. You guys play 18 league games. I would suspect in your environment, you've got a great opportunity to get into a bubble. How crazy, just forget about philosophies. How crazy is scheduling become with all the uncertainty of people creating environments that you don't know are safe and people are doing this for the first time? How much time, maybe not you, but your staff, and now with Dwayne obviously being the AD at DePaul, which is absolutely tremendous.
Yep.
And that dude is the greatest dude in the world.
Yeah.
But how do you fill that void of a guy that, one, you could bounce everything off of, and in this time where you have to try to figure out what you're going to do with the schedule?
Well, you know, you know me well enough that I started on this a month ago. Like, I'm not waiting for the fire hose to hit me and knock me down and say, okay, what do we do now? And so whether it was the 10th, the 21st, the 25th, other dates that we had to totally blow up our schedule. We knew that unless it started on the 10th, we would have left everything the same. But when we do an MTE, an event, which, you know, whether it be Maui or wherever, Bahamas, and Lee Miller doing her stuff, we did our own. Well, now, instead of having it, you play him there, he plays you here, we play, everything would be where we are, where you talk about the bubble of, you know, the hotels right there and the arena right there. And we do it right there. But you also look at this like, okay, what are we going to do with Madness? How do we do this?
Wow.
What do we do with Pro Day? All right. So look, we've been a month talking about this stuff because I didn't want to get knocked over by the fire hose and not have an idea. Now, it was, none of it was etched in stone. Everything was in pencil because it had to be. But we've had TV games, you know, obviously we have the Champions Classic, that date moved, which moved other dates, which moved this date. We had some CBS dates that had to stay the same because of the television. The CBS Classic on the 19th had to stay the same. Our game with Notre Dame on the 12th had to stay the same. What are we doing? My concern through all this from the beginning has been bye games. Now, because there are no fans, those schools may not make as much money, but you got to give them something. And you got to be fair, because those programs are going to be on their back if they don't have income coming in from those kind of games. Could you imagine if you were a football team and you had three games that were going to bring $5 million to run your program, and those other schools said, we're not playing you, we're only playing in league? Do you end football? Do you cut five sports? How do you do this? Well, how about if you're a basketball, you have no football, and men's basketball goes out and plays three or four bye games? All right, how are you going to make that $400,000 up? I mean, how do you do that when your budget? So I think we got to be concerned that we make sure we don't get away from. That's why I was against the league only. That was my thing. Early on, I said we should league only and let's make sure we're protected. And if people don't want to play, at least the SEC. But when you look deeper, you know, one school was Detroit. Well, my son plays there. How about if 50 schools say we don't have scholarships? That's 500 scholarships for young people in our country to play Division I, have a chance for the NCAA tournament, create an opportunity that they may not have. I mean, we got to protect that part of this too.
Scheduling. Walk us through how that goes. Are teams calling you? Are people desperate?
No, because we started out ahead, we're in pretty good shape. And again, we, you know, you go out ahead of this trying to say, okay, what are the games that are going to be hard? Because you had to cancel some games. So you're talking to those people. And Dan, what I would do is say, all right, if we can't play this, I'm promising you, you're on next year's schedule and we're going to pay you the same or more, but you'll be on next year's schedule. And I think most of the programs knew, like, we get it. I mean, shoot, we're trying to even have a season. We're hoping we're playing. And so we went through that process, but we knew, all right, this game we're going to have to play one. This is the second game we have to play, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth game. All right, that leaves us three games. Okay, all right, how do we do that? And that's basically how I went through it. I mean, you know, this game we're playing hell or high water. We got to play this game. What's the second most, third most important, fourth most important game? And then piecing it together, knowing the space, having to move some games. Some of the teams didn't want to move. And I said, okay, then we're force majeure, act of God. We blew up this schedule. The game is then canceled with no penalty. And then they usually would come back. Okay, let's move the date. So now it's okay. Let's, because you're not trying to hurt anybody. you're trying to make it work for everybody.
Cal, do you anticipate at any point, has there been any discussion with the government or the health department about having fans in RUP?
Well, the problem is everything that keeps coming out now, it's talking about indoors, you know, indoor problems. You know, would you put big fans in the building? What would that do? Do you have a great exhaust system within the building? What would that do? It's standing air from what I understand. And let me remind you that I've been told 1,000 times I'm not a doctor. Okay. So I would tell you that that is way harder than a football stadium. And then it becomes, okay, if you do, is there some sort of protection between fans and people on the court? That's protecting the players, but what are you doing? How do you social distance the ones that get into the game to protect them from each other? Do you put them upstairs? It doesn't matter where they are. If they're too close to each other, you got a problem. And social distance and the mask are the two things. Wear the mask and stay away from people. If you're outside by yourself, okay, you could take the mask off, but why even do that? Get in the habit of wearing the mask. If I walk my two little dogs with my wife, it's just us. Usually I won't have a mask because I'm not even seeing anybody. But, you know, I would just say those two things. And how do you come to terms with that in an indoor arena? What if someone says I'm not wearing a mask because then I'm voting for so-and-so if I wear a mask? No, you're not. You're trying to protect each other. And so I don't know, but for the good of all the – look, here's what coaches – we all want to play because our kids want to play.
Yeah.
But we also want to play. We know the NCAA tournament. We know what it does for all sports. We know what football and men's basketball does to keep all the other sports going. We don't want anybody to lose a job. We don't want any scholarship cuts. We certainly – don't want any sports cut. We coaches are like, look, let's do this in a safe way. We know what it means. And so, you know, we're good. This thing has been literally week to week trying to keep coming up with, you know, how do we do this? We haven't even talked about, do we try to do anything within leagues within a bubble, like pods where, you know, you got time in between, you're tested, you got it, four teams go to one site and you play three games, or you go six teams to one site, you play five games. You know, I don't know those answers because we don't know. By the time we start playing in January, we may be able to go travel to a place and have 10,000. It's just, you know, January's a long way away.
No doubt about it. And Cal, did you guys ever think of maybe taking champions, playing more than one game, being you're going to have those type of teams at one site in a kind of an isolated, restricted environment?
Yeah, it has come up. But, you know, then you get teams that will say we're playing one game. Then right. It's like, okay, do the others of us play? How do we do it? Do we take a day off? I mean, so it's not as easy as you think. They're having other events down there. When do they have those events? You know, it's, you know, you're trying to say, why wouldn't we take advantage of this quote bubble? So you make a good point. So yes, it's been discussed. But again, like if your league plays 20 games, you're down to like what, five games or whatever it is.
Seven games.
And even with an MTE, you know, you got, you know, four less games, you know. So with us, you know, we're talking nine games, seven plus two with an MTE, which gave us nine games.
And maybe SEC Big 12 challenge.
I think what you would do if you have 20 games, you have five games, but seven with an MTE, I believe. I believe that's what it would be.
You think the SEC Big 12 Challenge will take place? You think that's just too much travel?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. If you ask me my opinion, okay, now why more touch points? Why would we do that this year? Why put these young people in those positions of airplanes, buses, hotels, other arenas? And, you know, why do that? But I don't know. They may do it. Now, as I say that, you're going to say, well, that's because you got a road game this year.
No.
I don't. I got a home game. I'm saying that with me having a home game. So we got seven of our teams that are going to have to travel. And that's, like I said, why would we do that? If they choose to do it, I'm fine. It's a home game for us. I mean, so we're not having to travel. But, you know, when you look at this stuff, look, here's what I would say with everybody. We're the Champions Classic that we're going to. It was a bubble. It's been proven. ESPN is getting us the plane, and they're doing what they're supposed, hotels, single rooms. I mean, so that's different when you travel like that. But I would say to every other school, like, I don't want to do any plane rides except that one. If we have any travel, I want it on a bus. I don't want to have to go to an airport or an FBO or, you know, why? So, you know, if I could play all the games, and most of the stuff we're doing is either going to be here or close. Again, I mean, you look at this stuff, how do I put these kids in the best position to be safe? And let me say this. Every kid I know, one, they want to play in the worst way. Everyone, and they also, too, want more access to the coaches, not less. Not like, you know, these kids, and all right, you ready for this, Dan? If they're doing Zoom calls or Zoom stuff for class, you know, online stuff, they're in their room. How much do you want them in there? Well, you're going to occupy their time. We need to occupy their time. We need to, you know, we're not trying. And it could be them calling us saying, Coach, can you work me out? Yeah, meet me over at the gym. We'll go for an hour. You know, I mean, that kind of stuff. This is so different for all of us. I shouldn't be where I'm afraid, well, what's my time here? I mean, did I get 15 minutes over? This is just about mental health. How about their anxiety when they're amongst each other? You don't know what they're looking at online, what people are saying, how they're trying to, you know, and then they get around us, you settle them down. And that's what I said for us coaches. I was happy they're letting, like, you know, we had some managers who were living away from my team. A couple of them come positive. They touched the other one. So now, but they let us bring coaches down on the court so that we have smaller groups. They could do managerial duties. I even think they should go farther and just, you know, let one on the court so we have another guy, you know, that could be down there. Or if you have coaches, you know, some coaches that say, I don't feel comfortable being on the court because of underlying whatever, then that's fine. You have enough guys, but those are all things we're addressing.
Hey, Cal, last question. How do you recruit during a pandemic?
Well, I got a kid. This is some funny stuff. Well, most of it's Zoom and calling, FaceTiming, you know, trying to get kids to understand. I think this has been a big time. And this is where the mid-level schools never listened to me when I said, we need to do less summer recruiting. How long have I been saying that, Seth?
Wow. Yeah.
I said it when I was at UMass. Why are we doing all this stuff? Let's do it within the school year. Local players, you know what? They'll probably stay local. You'll get a chance to get kids you will never get a chance to get. And they come back, well, you're trying to stop us from traveling. And are you crazy? Right now is the chance for mid-majors, lower power fives to get kids. One, because we don't even get a chance to see them play. We're trying to do it on video. So a kid that broke through and became really good, we may not know. So you got guys being committed and that are going to sign. I'm not going to tell you the coach, but he said, hey, this Zoom stuff, he said, Cal, I've got more kids committed at this time ever in my career through Zoom. And I, you know what I said? I said, Dan, I said to him, that's because they didn't get a chance to meet you. If they met you, you wouldn't have got any of these kids. And so the only downside of this is going to hit, because we're putting in another bad rule, that kid that you got that is that good and is better than your program, what's he going to do next year?
Transfer, be eligible.
And without penalty. And yep. So I'll get him from you next year. I don't know what to tell you, but it's not my rules. I don't think they're good, but that's going to be an issue. But right now, there are schools getting better players than they've been getting that have gotten guys committed because kids panic and they're going to go. And I'm happy for those schools, but it should show us that we don't need to be out as much as we are. We don't need to spend all the money in the summer recruiting that we're doing. We have to figure out other ways of doing this. And what's going to happen, I've said this for years, the schools that are getting the guys are still going to get the guys. But there's going to be other kids that are going to be stay home and your best chance. Look, when you were at South Florida, and Dan, when you were at Bowling Green, did you want a kid to go to five-star and explode that you were coaching?
No, sir.
Yeah, I sat in Orlando 1 year. I know that feeling. I almost lost Altron Jackson.
Yeah, you don't want the kid. You're telling the kid you don't need to go to five-star. You don't need to go to Orlando and play down there and that. You're fine. Go home. Hey, you know, why don't you go call the mom? Why don't you guys go on a vacation all of July? I mean, so I've been there. I've been at a desk watching a kid play, hoping he turns it over every time. Because I'm looking at the other guys watching him, and I've said, if any of these five offer that kid a scholarship, I'm out. And they're like, why is he cheering? The kid just shot an air ball, and Cal stood up and cheered him. What happened when he turned it over, look away past it, what knocked the referee down, Cal started cheering. Yeah, because I've been there. I know you want a kid to play bad so you can get him because you know how good he is. Well, I think, again, you know, we're this coming out of this basketball recruiting 2.0, if we're being honest with each other, should change how we do business. We're going to do more over the watching film. We're going to have less in-person contacts. Instead of seven, it may be less, maybe three. You know, why seven? Why do you need seven? Well, I just need to have them see me seven times. Well, come on. But again, let me remind you, my wife doesn't listen to me. My kids don't listen to me. The dogs, if I say come, they run the other way. I mean, no one listens to me.
Cal, you're the best, man. Hey, we appreciate you doing this. And stay safe. I know you're wearing your mask, and hopefully you guys are staying safe. And at least we have a starting point. We'll see what happens from there. And I know you have a meeting with the SEC today. So everything you just told us could be thrown out the window in another hour.
All right, guys. Take care.
Hey, Seth, before we close, I got a sad note. Damon Bailey, who is obviously a high school legend, and I had the honor to coach at Indiana. His father passed away in a terrible accident last night on motorcycle. Not his fault. His mother's in critical condition. I just want to pass condolences to Damon Wendell, his father. Just a quiet Southern Indiana, great, great dude. His mother, they've been a lot. His sister had battled cancer during the time he was at Indiana. And Wendell Bailey was a really nice man. And my condolences to the Bailey family.
I'll tell you what, life is fragile. We're seeing it every day. Just it kind of things happen. It just makes you sick. So same here. Our thoughts and prayers to Damon and his family. Man, it's crazy. Cal was as usual. He delivered.
You know, I didn't know that. The first question you asked him, he gave an answer that was less than 10 seconds. I thought, uh-oh, what the hell? It was very un-Cal-like, but then Cal got rolling, and great job getting him on. And, you know, Big Blue Nation, I know they want to pack that place and go crazy and rough, but tell you what, doesn't sound like it's going to happen, at least for a while. We shall see. But I do think this, Seth, I do think Rupp, as I was sitting here thinking, I do think Rupp's one of the few places that had maybe the best setup. Indianapolis, downtown Indy is great, but actually they just built some hotels right across from Bankers Life Fieldhouse. So that would be a very, very good place. But there aren't many like Rupp with the Hyatt right there. Pretty good.
It's amazing. The Midwestern city, Columbus has got a shot doing it, right? Because they did it to PDT.
Particularly if you did it downtown in the Nationwide Arena where there's hotels all around. Yes. No question.
Yeah. So it's going to look, my thing is going to be to see what happens. One last thing, right? Today's playoff games. You got the Celtics, you got the Heat.
I'm going to say the Celtics tie it up. I think the Heat are better, but I think the Celtics tie it up. What do you think? I do. I think Jaylen Brown has a big game.
I like that the Celtics started to bring people behind that zone and get the ball in the middle some as either a scorer, a passer, or a driver, or you're moving the ball a little bit. I still like the Heat. I thought the Heat played as poorly as they could play, and they were in. And you know what? I think they'll be better. I just Spoelstra to me really figures stuff out. I mean, I just like their presence. Now, Jimmy Butler is an interesting guy. He is really dominant right-handed. Scouting will eventually make, you know, because he turned it over. They turned it over. The turnovers were a huge impact. But I like, how about the Lakers and Nuggets? Is that one over?
Hey, let me finish off on that Heat. I swear to God, the way I was brought up in college basketball, if Duncan Robinson would have gotten a look at a three, I know my ass would have been benched. And I know as I became a coach, a lot of dudes, it just amazes me how he gets look after look after look. I love the Lakers. At some point, Seth, down 3-1 twice, at some point the Nuggets have got to crack. And I think they crack. I do. I think LeBron puts too much heat on them. I think that shot may have finally cracked an incredibly resilient Nuggets team. And Gary Harris coming back has been great. I actually think Gordon Hayward coming back helped the Celtics.
Huge.
He makes the game easy for everybody else. I'm not betting against LeBron. I think LeBron's been the MVP of the league at 36. And I'm rooting for the Nuggets because I really like the way that team plays, but I can't see them beating the Lakers.
You know what you said about LeBron, 20 points in the first quarter, and then he became a facilitator.
Yeah, that's
like
it's 60.
I mean, like he could have done whatever he wanted to do. I just think that you just don't have a matchup for him. I think Rondo's been the big difference, though, in the Lakers. I think Rondo takes a little pressure off LeBron. He's the only other guy in their team that can go make a play. Mm-hmm. Like he can get in the lane and make a play and get someone an easy bucket. I'm not sure they have another guy that can actually go. Kuzma can't do it. Caldwell Pope can't do it.
No, Danny Green
can't do it. I think having one other guy that can do that, it helps him.
Anthony Davis from the mid post maybe can go get something done. But no, I think you're I just don't see LeBron losing this series. I don't see LeBron losing this game. I think LeBron is smart enough to know through his experience in the NBA, the less games you have to play, the better in the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, there's no getting in a rhythm. You want rest. And it's been fun, though.
I have one bit of advice for the Lakers, though.
Tell me.
Caruso's got to get the Clippers, go full Chrome Dome, get rid of the headband. I mean, you know, the runway, you know, I mean, like, just go full Chrome Dome, like the Dan Dockett look. I mean, I think, you know, and by the way, that guy is a competitive dude.
You know what? I told my brother and my kids today, I was a much better athlete when I had my comb over. I think I've become a little like Samson. I think the loss of the comb over has hurt my athletic ability.
So obviously, not playing golf game has gone south.
That's gone a little south. Hey, thanks right. Everybody for listening. Thanks to John Calipari, Big Blue Nation. We love you, baby. Rate us a 5. You know that.
Thank you for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. You can listen and subscribe to all ESPN podcasts in the Listen tab of the ESPN app, including the latest from the NBA and the Hoop Collective podcast, available in the ESPN app or Apple Podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.